Well, hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. I am so glad that you are taking time out of your busy day or evening, if you're listening at another time, to set your dials to Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. This show is Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And again, we're so tickled to bring you what we call kind of public service or public affairs programming, things we think that you would be interested in hearing about. So I want to welcome to the program a good friend of mine. We go way back, and you'll have to listen to hear how far back we really go. It's Father Doug Klein. He is a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City, and he accomplished something recently, and that is a 500-mile pilgrimage. I'm going to let him explain it a little bit more. Maybe some of you have heard of it, the Camino de Santiago, and I'm going to make sure that I got that right. I think I do, but I know he's going to set me straight as to what it exactly is. So, Father Doug, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Good to be anywhere, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Very much. So, this isn't the first time I've interviewed Father Doug for the show. We were just talking, Ann Reed and myself, about the last time we had him on the air, and that was actually another pilgrimage. It was one in which, as pastor of Christ the King and Rock Valley, in St. Mary's in Rock Valley, and Christ the King in Sioux Center, there was a pilgrimage in which Father Doug kind of led parishioners and supporters and well-wishers through a variety of churches to pick up items to take to the new church, which was in the process of just being wrapped up last year. Just seemed like that was the other day, but no, it was a year ago. And it was such a joy to talk to you at that time. And then we also talked to Robin Van Venroy, who is kind of in charge of faith formation at the Sioux Center Church. And so, yeah, it was, again, here we go. You're on another pilgrimage. Before we get into the pilgrimage, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, Father Doug?
Well, Joan, if you don't mind, just to touch base with that last time we were on and items from other churches, is that we are planning to have a appreciation mass here at Christ the King in our new church on Sunday, June 26th at 3 in the afternoon. It'll be a Sunday mass, and we're inviting in appreciation of people around the diocese who helped us either through donations or from, you know, from parishes that we received beautiful items. So they can come and see some of those items now in the church in Christ the King. So that's on the 26th of June at 3 o'clock.
And yeah, listeners, even if you were unable to make that, or we air this after June 26th, it's well worth a nice road trip up to Sioux Center. The church is just absolutely breathtaking, a wonderful testament to the faithful up in Northwest Iowa. So, yeah, thank you for mentioning that, Father. I appreciate that. But again, let's kind of enlighten the listeners a little bit about you.
Well, I grew up in Hospers, Iowa, St. Anthony's Church, and I went to graduate from Spalding Catholic High School there. And then I went to Creighton University, spent 4 years there, graduated with a degree in sociology, minor in philosophy. Spent a couple years with a missionary group called the Glen Mary Home Missioners that work in Appalachia in the South before coming back to the Diocese of Sioux City, where I worked for a couple years at then Briarcliff College, now Briarcliff University. I believe that's where we crossed paths.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know how it was we got strong-armed into doing a Christmas carol. I think I was strong-armed into it by Richard Poole, who is a very good friend over the years. He has since retired and moved to Kentucky. And he came to me and he said, oh, I think this would be great fun. And I said, well, okay, you know, what the heck? And yes, I can't remember if for that one I was just a person. I think I was just one of the many townspeople. Later on, he strong-armed me again into being Mrs. Fezziwig. But I think for that one that you were in, Father Doug, and you were Bob Cratchit, if I remember
Bob
correctly.
Bob Cratchit, yes, very good memory.
Yeah, very good. And so, again, that was probably the first time I had crossed paths with you, and I guess we just continued the circle of life, always being connected. And then you mentioned that you worked with the Lay Missionary Group, and then what kind of was the moment where you said to yourself, "I think the priesthood might be a good fit for me"?
Well, during that whole time was a time of discernment. You know, first discerning whether I wanted to do that with a missionary group, but then my ties to Northwest Isle, my roots kind of brought me back here. And after being here for 2 more years, you know, living back in the diocese and ministry at Barcliff, you know, and then also being working with Father Tom Flan again and being around some other priests again, I was like, yeah, it is. This is where I belong. And so that's when I began apply for seminary through the Diocese of City. And they sent me for my theology studies to the American College, connected with the Catholic University of Louvain in Belgium. So I spent my 4 years of theology there.
And you were ordained a priest when?
I was ordained in 1996, so coming on 26 years this summer.
My goodness.
And then spent time in, first I was at Carroll, St. Lawrence and Kemper, and then 1 year in Sioux City at Blessed Sacrament, and then 3 years at St. Mary's in Storm Lake, and now the last about 19 years up here in Sioux County, connected with Rock Valley, Sioux Center, Haywarden, and various other parishes during that time. So,
man, what a joy. I mean, it kind of takes your breath away, doesn't it? A quarter of a century as a priest? Holy moly.
I know. I'm not sure how that happened.
Where did the time go?
Time rolls on.
Yeah, I blink my eyes and I think back to standing on stage, you know, at Briarcliff with you. And now, decades later, here we are on the radio. Amazing.
It is amazing.
So, I alluded to why I thought it would be interesting for you to be on the radio show again. And this is the pilgrimage that you did. Again, do I have it right? Is the Camino de Santiago?
Yeah, the Camino de Santiago, or, you know, English sometimes referred to as the Way of St. James.
Okay. So maybe explain to the listeners, because I did say that it is 500 miles, and kind of what
is it? Well, the path I took was 500 miles, but of course, the pilgrimage can, there are many different routes that people can take. It kind of depends on where you start. But the most traditional one in these days starts in the south of France near the border and then goes to Santiago de Compostela, so it's about 500 miles.
Okay. So what was the...
The cathedral at there, you know, that's the cathedral where the Apostle James the Major, is entombed. So that's where his final resting place ended up. So that's kind of how the pilgrimage got started. Was way back in the Middle Ages, people began making pilgrimages to that site.
Okay.
So it's been going on for well over 1,000 years.
So what prompted
you? I don't know if my history is right, but I think it's about 900 is when it first started.
What prompted you to say to yourself, boy, this is something I'd like to embrace? Or I guess even before that, were you even aware of this?
Well, I think I kind of first heard about it, you know, when I was doing my studies over in Belgium, so I heard a little bit more about it, and I had visited Spain, and then through the years, I knew people that have done the Camino, and so I was aware of it as something like, you know, someday maybe that's something I'd like to do. But I, you know, if I did it, I was like, well, when would I have enough time to do that? You know, it takes, you need to commit 5 or 6 weeks almost, you know, to do what we often call the complete Camino, but it can be as long or short as you want, as long as it's 100 kilometers or more. So then this past year, or last, the finally getting our church building completed, and that I would have, an associate pastor and Father Sanchez here. I thought, well, maybe I can finally apply for a sabbatical. Our diocese has a policy that priests are eligible after a certain number of years to apply for a sabbatical. And then the question came up, well, what do I want to do with my sabbatical? So sabbatical for priests is to allow them a significant time of away from parish duties in order to, to do some sort of program or activity that brings about spiritual, emotional, physical renewal, mind, body, and spirit, to help us continue to be effective and healthy ministers of the gospel. So I began to look at different options, and the one that first came up that I found was a program in the Holy Land. So to the Tantra Ecumenical Institute in outside of Jerusalem, and there was a six-week Encounter the Holy Week program. And so, of course, that ticked off a lot of boxes of, the experience of the Holy Land and seeing the holy sites and visiting where Jesus was. And also, the program also had different lectures come in and talk about, the Bible and just the culture, the religion, the history of that place.
Okay.
So that was 6 weeks, and I had permission for 3 months. So then I thought, well, here's my opportunity. I have enough time to finally do the Camino de Santiago. So that's how I kind of arrived at that program for my sabbatical. Of course, the idea of pilgrimage is very important to me, as you started our conversation off with. So the whole sabbatical indeed was a pilgrimage, first to the Holy Land and then to the Cathedral of St. James.
And listeners, you're going to hear a lot more about Father Doug's sabbatical. But we have to take a little short break where we give a shout out to our supporters, do some public service announcements, underwriters, the drill. But again, please stay tuned to Faith in Action because we will be right back. Welcome back, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. Hey, if you're just joining us, thank you for setting your dial to 88.1 FM. This show is Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And if you were with us at the top of the hour, then you know what this program is about. And we're about 15 minutes into the program. So, again, thank you so much for being supportive of everything we do here at Siouxland Catholic Radio. So, my guest, not in the studio, but on the telephone with me, is Father Doug Klein. Again, we go way back to Briarcliff, where we both did a Christmas carol, and just always kind of stayed in each other's social interaction, I guess, over the years. He is a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City, and I had to chuckle when you said in the last segment you are a native of Hospers, Iowa, graduate of Spalding High School in Granville, because a noteworthy person who is also a native of Hospers and a graduate of Spalding High School is Archbishop Dennis Schnurr of Cincinnati. And he also is a good friend. And listeners, if you listen, stay with me on this program, basically all I do is I bring my friends on the show and I interview them. And not only is Archbishop Schnurr a very good friend, because I remember him when he was a baby priest and chancellor of the diocese before he went off to do other things, he is godfather to my youngest son, Michael. So I have always enjoyed staying in touch with him. So I had to smile when Father Doug said that he, too, native of Hospers and graduate of Spalding High School. So that and what, a dollar will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's, Father Doug?
I'm not sure if a dollar will do it anymore, but
possibly not. So the reason I have Father Doug on the air is I followed him on Facebook while he was doing this Camino de Santiago, and in English, that is the Way of St. James. It's kind of interesting. This, too, is a pilgrimage, and last year I had interviewed Father Doug and Robin Van Venroy from Christ the King Parish in Sioux Center about how they took this pilgrimage to the various churches that had been closed, and they got sacred items to take them to the brand new Christ the King Church in Sioux Center. So, again, yet another pilgrimage. And in the last segment, Father Doug, you were talking about you know, you got the church built, and Father Mauro Sanchez, who, again, another small world story. I covered his ordination for the Catholic Globe, which is now the Lumen, newspaper for the Diocese of Sioux City, went to Mexico and covered his ordination. So he, too, is a longtime friend. Not as long as you and I, but still long time. So the church is built, and, you know, you say to yourself, might be time for a little sabbatical away from the parish duties. And so you start looking into this, and you mentioned in the last segment that one of the things you did was 6 weeks in the Holy Land. It was kind of a program that focused on all the wonderful things in the Holy Land. And if we've got some time, we might revisit that. But I'm just so intrigued with the Camino de Santiago and how one goes about investing in that. Is there things to fill out, paperwork, or you just show up someplace in the south of France and say, hey, I'm walking?
Basically, it's when you decide to just start heading for Santiago. And some people perhaps live in Europe. It's as much as putting on their backpack and going out their front door and starting on the way. But for most people, it's a little bit more more planning to that, and logistics to get to one of the traditional starting points of the Camino. And maybe just, I would like to say maybe just a little bit more about pilgrimage. You know, the idea of pilgrimage is a very kind of ancient thing and current thing, and it's just, you know, it's popular across many faiths, not only Christian faiths, but others' faiths, but it's just, usually pilgrimage is a journey to, you know, a sacred site. And within our Christian tradition, of course, one of the most sacred is the Holy Land, Jerusalem, and then the second one was always considered Rome, and then the third, especially in the Middle Ages, the third big pilgrimage was to Santiago, the Cathedral of St. James. And the idea of pilgrimage is to allow a person, you know, a time away, and the process of just journeying allows, you know, it's an offering to God, but it's an opportunity to get out of your normal routine, which allows you to hopefully have spiritual growth or reconciliation, or I suppose there's as many reasons to go on pilgrimage as there are pilgrims. But the Camino, the most traditional way that most people do, it's called the French way, only because it starts in France, in a small little village in the south of France near the border with Spain called Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. And so you start there, and yes, and the first day you walk over the Pyrenees Mountains to kind of test your grit and see if you really want to do this. So as far as the planning part is, of course, getting your backpack and kind of investigating and seeing what you need and preparing yourself perhaps physically, and even more importantly, I think maybe mentally. The only paperwork you do is you buy what's called a credential. So it's kind of like a pilgrim passport, which you get stamped and at the beginning, and then, you know, each day when you stop, you either at the church or at one of the hostels, they give you a seal, a stamp in each place, which kind of, when you get to Santiago, it kind of verifies that indeed you did make the pilgrimage.
Well, that would make sense, too. And how did you know what to take? I mean, was there resources that said, be sure you have at least two pairs of good walking shoes? Be sure you always have water with you. I just find that kind of interesting, too.
Well, and the nice thing about in today's age, of course, there's many guides and, you know, books that publish, you know, that you can order, but also there's just a myriad of websites. In fact, it was kind of overwhelming to look at and, you know, to kind of compare different opinions about what type of, you know, shoes, you know, hiking boots or this type of thing, and the different things that you need. And then most everyone probably overpacks, and the first few days they start realizing, you know, there's things I can go without. And most people start, it's like, okay, this is because you have to carry it
right
every day. And so you're very judicious about what you really need. And that's, you know, one of the first lessons of the Camino is just saying, you know, we have a lot of stuff in our life that we really can actually survive without.
I'm real curious, when you told friends and maybe family that you were going to do this, what was their reaction? I mean, did they hit the side up the head there and go, what are you thinking? Or did they go, whoa, this is a great idea?
Well, with my family, they're pretty used to me doing things. They're like, oh, there he goes again.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it depends. A lot of people, you know, some people that had heard about it, were vaguely familiar with it. There was a movie came out, I'm not sure how many years ago, it's called The Way with Martin Sheen. And so that kind of introduced it a little bit more in the U.S. It's much more known, I think, in Europe. So either people says, what are you doing? Where's that? Really? You're going to walk 500 miles? a lot of people says, oh, wow, that's, you know, wow, that's interesting. And then, of course, maybe not so much here, but I know when I got to the Holy Land, there were 5 priests in the program, and I was the only one who had not done the Camino. So they're like, oh, the Camino, it's incredible, or you're going to love it, or it's, you know, it's a wonderful experience. So
when you were thinking, you really seriously now going to do it, did you have any misgivings, or what misgivings might you have had going into it? I think that's just normal for any of us who kind of take off on a journey that is unknown.
Well, Pat, I mean, I was pretty sure I was going to like it and find it meaningful and purposeful. I mean, there was like, okay, do I have what I need? You know, did I, you know, because trying to get ready for the sabbatical and leaving, and you're doing different programs, like, did I get everything I need? And then, of course, I didn't really have too much misgivings other than kind of making sure I had enough of the background and research of how to get to the starting point and everything. And then it came to start the Camino, and I'm going, wow, am I really going to do this? And first day I'm looking at, you know, climbing, you know, hiking over the Pyrenees. I was like, I'm not sure if I'm ready. And and again, on the beginning of the Camino, most, you know, they'll ask you, it's like, oh, are you planning to go all the way to Santiago? And everyone using this flight, well, that's the plan, but you just have to see. You don't know.
No, you don't.
Is the body going to hold up? Is this, you know,
yeah,
the spirit going to hold up? You know, because, you know, sometimes you have an injury that prevents you from continuing.
Yeah, very much so. So, listeners, again, we're just going to take a very short break. This is also fascinating. My guest on the show today is Father Doug Klein. He's a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City, and I admire him so much because he did the Camino de Santiago, a 500-mile pilgrimage over there in Europe. And again, I followed him on Facebook and thought it was so astonishing that I felt comfortable reaching out to him and saying, I'd like you to share your story with our listeners. So as you know, short break, typical, give a shout-out to our underwriters, supporters, maybe some PSAs, but please stay tuned, because we will be right back. Hello again, listeners of Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This show is Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox, and again, always so pleased that you are supportive of everything we do here at Siouxland Catholic Radio, and you're listening. We have this is just a fascinating program. It's just astonishing. I don't know of anybody else that has done this except my good friend, Father Doug Klein. He's a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City. And on his sabbatical, after he got done overseeing the construction of the brand new Christ the King Church in Sioux Center, Iowa, he did a couple of things. First, he went down to the Holy Land and did a program, and then decided to do a little bit of walking. And it was a pilgrimage, and it is the Camino de Santiago. He says it so much better than I do. I really sound like a Midwesterner when I say it. Father Doug, he's got that nice I would call Hispanic accent that really puts the emphasis where it's supposed to be. In English, that is the way of St. James. This pilgrimage goes way back to the Middle Ages. I mean, it's nothing new. People have done this for years. Starts out traditionally in the south of France and then goes to Santiago. I remember in the last segment, and we're about halfway through the show, that Father Doug talked about the movie, The Way, with Martin Sheen. And he kind of portrayed in that movie what it was really like. So that's kind of where we're at. Father Doug has made the decision to do the Camino de Santiago. And now he's getting ready to cross the Pyrenees the first day with his backpack and his hiking shoes. And how does that work then? I mean, you meet at a certain place with other pilgrims who are doing the same thing. Are there certain days where they would like you to start, or is every day a start for people different? I'm really into logistics, how these things play out. So, Father Doug, if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners, so you make the decision and now it's the first day. What happens?
Yeah, well, I mean, every day of the year there are pilgrims starting. Of course, a lot less in the wintertime than, you know, prime times would be, you know, spring and fall. In the summer, a lot do it, but it's a lot hotter then, too. But like, again, there's a lot of pilgrims doing this. I think by the time I'm finishing in May, there were, you know, 1,300 people a day arriving in Santiago.
Oh, my.
So it's not like you're on your own. You see a lot of people. And so on the first day, it's just when you're ready to go, you go out and you start walking, you know. Again, doing the pilgrimage of the Camino, it kind of brings things down to a very basic level. I mean, you get up in the morning, you take care of things, you pack your bag, put it on your shoulders, and you start walking.
Now, how does it work, though, with food? I mean, you get up in the morning?
Again, the French way is very well, established, so there's no problem with finding all the support you need. So there's pilgrim hostels all along the way. In Spanish, they call it albergues, and it depends on. Some of those hostels have breakfast there. Otherwise, you walk to the first cafe you find and have coffee and something there. So the largest stretch, had without finding any services was maybe 10 miles.
Oh, okay.
And of course, there was actually then even on that, there was a little stand set up partway there. So you have, you carry a little bit of food along in case you need a little bit of an energy boost, just so you don't catch yourself stranded. And there's a few stretches where you need to be more careful to take in enough water, but also, it's very established. There's, between the cafes and the other places, but also most of the little towns have, fountains where you can, water spigots where you can fill up your water bottles, there. So it's that established as a pilgrim route.
So what was the first day you started this?
So I left, I started at St. Jean-Pied-de-Port on April 11th.
Okay.
And the first day was 25 kilometers, which, you have to do the math there, you're putting into that about 18 miles.
Wow.
But it was also, 1,400 meter climb over the...
Oh, the Pyrenees. Yeah.
And we had it was actually the first day they allowed us to take that route over the mountains. There's another route that you have to do in the winter months, and it was the first day they said that they had opened it up because there still had been snow. So it was a challenging day, but it was also invigorating to see. I mean, it was just gorgeous views, and you're exhausted by the end of that day, but it sets your mind as a pilgrim. The challenge of walking, and then you also feel bonded with your other pilgrims who went through the same thing that day.
So you walked like with.
There was a,
I was curious. You obviously made friends and kind of walked with buddies, or you walked independently?
And it depends. I mean, there are some people that say, well, I'm too nervous to, you know, to go off and do this on my own. And people said, well, you're doing that on your own. I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm not on my own. And so you're meeting people all the time. In fact, I kept track. I met people from 40 different countries during the Camino. So one of them said, well, you don't need to travel the world. Just go to the Camino. The whole world is there.
Right. That's great.
And, you know, and most of us, you know, the opinion that, you know, it's good to spend some of the time walking on your own, because that's where you kind of have the time for just introspection and thinking and processing life. And it's good also to, you know, to walk with people and share your story and listen to someone else's story. And my experience was both of those were very true to my experience, and both of those were extremely valuable. So, yeah, I was the first day, and I was like, by the end of the day, I'm like, wow, I met people from 7 or 8 different countries in the first day.
Wow. And we had talked in the previous segment about, you know, how many pairs of shoes do you take, and, you know, what kind of toiletries, and, you know, what do you put in the backpack? As a priest, did you take items that would allow you to celebrate Mass and hear confessions?
Well, confessions is easy. We've got the, you know, we have
true.
You know, we can do the confessions. And, you know, of course, I was, you know, not sure about that when I, you know, when I was first planning it. I thought, well, I'm, you know, I'm walking through Spain, and I know there's, you know, there's Catholic churches the whole way along. So do I really need to be able to say Mass? But fortunately, a priest that I spent time with in the Holy Land, an Irish priest that had done the Camino, and he said, well, a friend of his gave him the advice, take what you need to be able to say Mass, because you never know when it will come in handy, or, you know, the opportunity will arise. So I was able to put it, you know, the most basic kit, you know, just the minimum things I need to be able to say Mass, a stole and a corporal and host and a little wine and the smallest, lightest chalice that I could carry, because I'm going to carry this for 500 miles. And so I packed that along, and it was very, very good advice. I mean, the first number of days, I mean, a lot of the towns were, you know, at night, you know, the church would have a pilgrim mass that night. So I was able to just go and attend Mass there. And but then later on in, you know, in the pilgrimage, and of course, when people are walking with me and we're talking about life, and comes up, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a Catholic priest. And eventually there were places where, you know, there was a chapel, or even sometimes out, you know, at the Iron Cross, you know, which is kind of an important place, you know, I was able to have Mass with the pilgrims that, you know, were in the area. So those are some very powerful and meaningful experiences. So
were there other Catholic priests that you ran into that were doing the same thing that you were doing?
I heard about other Catholic priests. I didn't meet any other Catholic priests until I actually got to Santiago and was celebrating there. I met a priest from El Salvador. Some other pilgrims, well, many pilgrims, would, you know, when I told them I was a Catholic priest, they said, oh, wow, you're the first priest I've met.
Oh.
I would say, well, you're the first Roman tour guide I've met, too. So.
Oh, nice comeback. Very good.
But, you know, we're all unique and special in that way. But then I would hear, I met another priest. So I know there were other priests on the Camino, but again, it's a 500-mile journey. So unless you happen to, be on the same kind of timetable, you don't always necessarily run into each other.
Sure. Did you set a goal of, I'm going to try and walk? You said your first leg was about 18 miles, give or take. Did you have goals for yourself, like the 18 miles, or I'm just going to walk, and then when my body or my spirit says enough, then I'm going to step away?
A little bit of both. Now, there's a lot of guides to doing the Camino, and a lot of apps, and they kind of, you know, they're based on a lot of experience, and so they kind of set it up in stages based on, you know, what you know, so a normal average walk would be 20 to 25 kilometers. So you have to convert that because it's all in kilometers over there.
Sure.
But then I figured out too that it's like, you know, those aren't set stages. You know, it's like, you know, there's towns in between those stages that also have hostels. You know, so you can look on the app and say, well, I want to go a little further today, or I'm kind of tired and I need to, you know, my leg is sore. I need to take it a little easier. You can go a shorter distance.
Okay.
And then I also kind of learned how to read the descriptions and say, well, this hostel looks really interesting. Especially I would, you know, some were associated with a parish. And so those were, if I could work that in, I always went to those, and because they were usually the most simple, but they were also the most, I mean, they had more of an emphasis on community, where you would have a meal together with the other pilgrims. In fact, many times you would help prepare the meal and clean up the dishes, and there was usually either it was connected with a church, or at least it had a little chapel in it, so that, you know, made it easier to celebrate Mass with the other pilgrims that were interested in that.
Listeners, I hate to cut you off, Father Doug, but again, we need to take a little short break. There is so much more we're going to talk about in this last segment, so please stay tuned to Faith in Action, because we will be right back. Well, listeners, you probably heard that I cut Father Doug off in the last segment because we needed to take our short break, which we did, and now we're back. So again, this is Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And on the phone with me is Father Doug Klein. He's a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City. And I got to know him pretty well over the years as a priest when I was in the field of journalism. Now I've stepped away. And kind of I go over stuff on Facebook. And that's how I found out that he did the Camino Santiago. About 1,300 people a day take part in the Camino. And that in English is the Way of St. James. And if you're really interested in any of this, the movie The Way with Martin Sheen really does a pretty nice job of capturing the Camino and this long, long pilgrimage of 500 miles. Oops, had to cough there a second. Which Father Doug started on April 11th of this year. And now he's back in the fold in Northwest Iowa, and we are glad for that. And we kind of left it in the last segment talking about, you know, typically what was going on during a day. And I like that you had mentioned, you know, sometimes you would walk individually, sometimes you would walk with other people. It was kind of a combination of that. But the whole idea of then also getting together in the evening, perhaps at, a hostel, you got to clean up and maybe you need to do a little laundry or something and break bread. How did the days kind of play out then? And you had mentioned, you know, you had kind of a goal for yourself because there were apps that followed that. But when you would sit down with these other pilgrims, what were you hearing from them? What things surprised them or surprised you about participating in this?
Well, there's a lot of different stories and sharing there, but I think there's a, you know, great bonding experience, I think, of doing something like this that, you know, I think because, as I said before, you know, I think there's as many different reasons to do the Camino as there are pilgrims, but you're still doing something that you're sharing with both the struggles. You know, maybe it's talking about that day that it was really cold and rainy and snowy, and you survived it, or just the beauty of the nature that you're walking through there in Spain, and the deep history of that country and of the Pilgrim Way. And then it's just the opportunity to, as you said, break bread or to walk for several hours with someone that you've just met along the way. And you meet people and you get to know them in a way that otherwise you would never, ever have, you know, you don't have a whole lot in common. You know, you're different ages, different cultures, different background, you know, whether it's a retired firefighter from Spain or a young German girl trying to discover her way, or somebody from China, Korea, I mean, all over the world. And then you try to, you know, we talked about, you know, listen to the Camino, or the Camino will guide you. And I talked about in a sermon when I was back here in my parish, and I said, you know, it's not really the Camino, which is not an animate thing, but, you know, in my mind, it was pay attention to the spirit, which we sometimes just don't take time to in our normal life. But when you're out there walking and you're doing this, it just breaks down everything. And so you start to pay attention to things, whether it's the beauty of nature around you, or it's your body, mm-hmm. how tired it is or sore. Or it's like, well, oh, this person, you know, this is the third time I've run across this other pilgrim, you know, and we're not walking together, but we keep running into each other. It's like, well, maybe I should walk with them and talk a little bit. And then I said, amazing conversations. And as you said, as a priest, once in a while, that would lead to, you know, I remember walking with a young man, and he was, you know, begin to share more about, you know, what, you know, his life and the direction it's going, and, you know, and relationships and stuff. And pretty soon I'm thinking, no, I think he might want a prayer or a blessing. Before I said anything, he turns to me and said, would you pray a blessing for me? I'm not sure how that works, but I think that'd be nice. And I was like, whoa, that's the spirit working. And that's something I found happening over and over again on the Camino. And it's not that it doesn't happen in everyday life, but so often we don't pay attention to it, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. So how I mentioned in all three segments, in this segment I'm going to mention it again, I followed you on Facebook. And how did that work? I remember when I went to Rome with the cathedral choir, I had a heck of a time trying to post to Facebook. And you just seemed almost every day to post. Was I just in the wrong places in Rome? Are there better Wi-Fi on the Camino?
Well, I don't know, and maybe it's improved. But most of the time, not every evening, but most of the hostels had Wi-Fi, or sometimes it would be a cafe or restaurant where I could, because I did not switch my phone over or anything, so I didn't have regular data, so I would be on Wi-Fi. And I didn't do it every day because I thought, well, people might get tired. It's like, oh, here he's walking on this path and that path. But I'm not sure how often I posted, but maybe twice a week just to kind of whet people's appetite. At first, I wasn't sure. I knew people would be interested in the Holy Land and like, well, what about the Camino? So I posted just to basically kind of stay in touch and let people know back home that I was still alive and walking, and people seemed interested, so I kept on posting.
Well, I think it was...
to give them a taste of it.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of us aren't going to do this. And so we're curious as to how it played out. So how long did this take? When did you conclude the Camino?
So I arrived in Santiago on May 12th.
Oh, my gosh, just exactly
a month.
So it was
29 days of walking, a little bit more than the guides there. I kind of was ahead of myself. But I had started right at the beginning of Holy Week, and I did take, 3 days off instead of walking. You know, when we hit the Triduum for Holy Week, I went on a retreat in Loyola, where St. Ignatius is from. So I spent Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday there, and then start walking again. So I did 33 days of walking and 37 days total, because Santiago wasn't enough. I needed to kind of process a little bit more before I left the Camino, and so a lot of pilgrims walk another three days out to the coast to get to the Atlantic Ocean. So
okay, and was that according to conventional wisdom a nice jog along, or were you a little bit?
It was a little. I mean, again, depending on the pilgrim, you can do it. You know, you can do shorter days or longer days based on sometimes it depends on your physical capabilities, or other times some people say, well, you know, I've got time. I want to, you know, savor this. I want to, you know, enjoy it. You know, so sometimes you can go too fast.
Yeah, but, and I think that's a great point to make, is the savoring of it and not rushing through it. This is not a race. It's
not a race, and everybody has to walk their own Camino. You know, if you try to match yourself to someone else, you can, you know, you can overdo it, and then you all of a sudden you have to take days off because you've got blisters or your knee is, you know, and it. Most every pilgrim has to deal with some of those issues.
Sure.
And some people, you know, based, you know, you can, you know, there are ways of doing it a little less strenuous. You know, some pilgrims will use a service that, you know, will take their bag from one place to the next, so they can just carry a light day pack and not carry the whole backpack, you know.
So what would you say was the biggest surprise of doing this? Necessarily a bad surprise, just, well, I guess I didn't anticipate that.
Well, I think overall the biggest surprise is, I mean, I was pretty sure I would find it a meaningful experience, but it was way beyond my expectations, and I think it really ticked off the box. You know, I just, you know, it was, you know, physically draining, but also physically renewal. I feel, you know, I feel better mind, body, and spirit after doing the Camino, and, you know, I'm not sure. Those are the hardest part about it, to say exactly why that is, but I think it's just giving yourself the time and that luxury of having time to just allow God and allow, you know, time for contemplation, time for, you know, the physical activity and the time to just, you know, get to know people and share those stories. And that was just an amazing, amazing experience in all of those ways. And it, you know, for me, it's a religious thing, you know, this is a pilgrimage. It's with a purpose. And arriving in Santiago is both filled with joy. You know, I've made it. I can't believe I did it. And I'm here at the Tomb of Santiago. And then it's also then laced with sadness. I'm going, oh, these people I've been meeting along the way off and on, I'm now saying goodbye to.
Well, I am so grateful that you've taken time out of your day to share your experience with our listeners. It's absolutely astonishing and something that you should be very proud of. And again, Father Doug Klein, thank you so much for joining us on Siouxland Catholic Radio and sharing your experience of the Camino de Santiago.
Well, thank you for having me.
And listeners, that wraps up another Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And again, so glad that you tuned in. This show plays on Mondays at 9 a.m., replays Saturday at 7 p.m. And you can always find previous podcasts of our shows on SiouxlandCatholicRadio.com. So on behalf of my executive producer, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you that a faithful reaction is always good, but faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening, and God bless.